everyone. Welcome to Soulmates Podcast. This is Emily.
And this is Rachel.
Today, we are talking about The Apothecary Diaries. Rachel made me watch this.
Hey, at least this time it was a good recommendation.
Yes, I very much enjoyed this. Thank you for the rec. I'm glad that I had an excuse to sit down and binge watch this.
Yes, I feel like oftentimes I get just like sucked into whatever Fabian is watching, and like our tastes do not align super often. But for this particular one, he's like, I really think you'll like it. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And I was like, damn, he really got me with the strong female lead with a special interest.
Well, you really got my attention with the Bishonen, like...
I knew it.
With the Bishonen tsundere-kun guy, like, yeah. That's my shit. The main characters, the dynamic is so Haruhi Tamaki. Like, that yes. is immediately what I thought of after watching, like, a couple of episodes.
Oh my god, you're so right.
Yeah, so if you've never seen The Apothecary Diaries, but you have seen Ouran, that's the vibe.
Yes, it's so good. I love their interplay with each other anyways. Yeah.
So we are going to be talking spoilers for this. We're only going to talk about the first four episodes because we don't want to spoil absolutely everything. But full disclosure, I binged watched this very quickly.
Yes.
And my opinions are going to be about the show as a whole, seeing past episode four. But we are only going to talk about the first four episodes.
Yes, we promise. There are, I think, over 25 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
In this series. So the first four episodes is like, I mean, you're like just scratching the surface there. It is very bingeable. So we warned you in advance.
Don't start it when you're really busy.
Do not.
Then you'll be like me and yearn to watch, but you have to do other things like laundry.
Exactly. Fucking laundry. It's never
fucking
ending.
Fucking laundry. It's like Sisyphus with the dishes and the laundry just yes. up a hill every fucking day.
So true.
Fellow adults, you understand.
It's like I'm doing laundry and dishes right now.
So, The Apothecary Diaries is an anime, but this anime is based off a light novel. And that light novel came out in 2011. It was serialized online on a user-generated novel publishing website. So, like Wattpad.
Yeah.
Wattpad's a really good English example. The anime premiered October 22nd, 2023, and it's produced by Toho Animation and OLM. A second season is going to premiere in 2025. Thank God. Thank God.
Bless up.
So if you start watching this, just know there is more coming next year.
Yes. I fully believe this anime deserves a second season. Like, it's so good.
And in addition to the light novel and the anime, there are actually two separate manga series, which I was like, that's interesting. But two separate companies were like, we're going to publish it. So,
huh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Rachel, why don't you read the little plot synopsis from our friends over at Wikipedia?
Absolutely. And as we always say, if I butcher any of these names, I am very sorry. I'm doing my best from the dub that I've been watching.
I've also been watching the dub.
Yes.
It's just better for my auditory processing.
Same. Set in a fictional country based on Imperial China during the Tang Dynasty, the series follows Mao Mao, a young girl working as an apothecary in the Red Light District, who is kidnapped and sold to the Imperial Palace as a servant. However, she still retains her curious and eccentric personality, that's saying lightly, and plans to work there until her years of servitude are over without drawing the attention of anyone. One day, after hearing rumors that the Emperor's children are critically ill, she begins to investigate the cause using her experience as an apothecary and successfully solves the mystery of their illness. Even though she intends to remain anonymous, her actions eventually catch the attention of an influential eunuch and soon finds herself solving various mysteries for the royal court.
I would say that's a very accurate plot synopsis. Okay, We're going to get right into it. Episode 1. Mao Mao, the daughter of an apothecary on the outskirts of the city. She is kidnapped by bandits and sold to the Imperial Palace. Her dad is like, hey, be careful. You know, these streets are dangerous. And she's like, yeah, dad, no prob. And of course, she's walking alone and she spots some herbs as her special interest. And then some guys come up behind her and she's like, well, shit. Yeah. She takes being kidnapped very nonchalantly. She's the kind of character where everything just kind of flows off her. She's very nonchalant. She's very nonplussed. And she's like, I will bide my time.
Mm-hmm.
She's sold to the Imperial Palace as a laundry woman. And she is there serving the emperor's concubines, eunuchs, and other staff in the outer palace. And she's basically just there doing laundry and plotting? Question mark. Not really. Just kind of existing. She's like, there will be a time where I can leave, and then I will. This frustrated me, and I'll talk about that later. So after 3 months of working in the laundry for the Outer Palace, Mao Mao notices a fight between two of the emperor's concubines, Li Hua and Gyokyu, and rumors are starting to swirl around both of them because both of their newborn children are sick, and they are almost dying, and people are like, it's a curse.
It's a curse.
But Mao Mao, the detective Nancy Drew bitch that she is like, it's probably not a curse. There's probably something causing them to die. She is able to deduce the cause almost right away because she was working as an apothecary assistant in the red light district. And she was able to determine that face powder is actually causing the concubines and their children to be sick. And she recognizes that from her past work in the red light district. She's like, how do I let them know this without bringing any attention to me? Because I don't want to be noticed and I kind of want to fly under the radar so no one will notice when I'm gone.
Right.
She ends up writing a note for both of the concubines and leaving them on their windowsills. The note basically says, your face powder has lead. Like, stop using it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Concubine Li Hua ignores the message. She's like, what the fuck is this? Throws it away. And sadly, her infant son dies. Gyokyo reads it and she's like, what the fuck? And she throws out her face powder and her daughter lives. Jin Shi, who is like the hottest bitch on the block, he is
serving.
A tall, purple-haired, attractive eunuch. Think Yoko Kurama. Think like Sesshomaru. Like he is that level of cunt in this show.
Yes.
He finds out that Mao Mao was the person who warned the concubines, and he is able to trick her, and he is able to get her to admit that she knows how to read and write, and he's like, who are you?
It's so funny. It is like tragic that that was the easiest way to suss her out, was he's like, these servant bitches can't read. Yeah, so he literally holds up a note that's like, if you can read, stay.
Yeah, he's like, all the laundry people, please come in here. He holds up a note that is like, you with the freckles, stay.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, thank you. And everyone leaves. And she's like, she read it. And she's like, oh, shit, now he knows I can read. And he's like, I know it was you, bitch.
He's like, you literate bitch.
I know, right? So Jin Shi introduces Mao Mao to concubine Gyokyo, and Mao Mao is able to explain how the face powder is linked to why her and her daughter became sick, because it's full of lead. It's very Elizabethan.
Yeah.
And concubine Gyokyo thanks her by making her a lady-in-waiting. And by lady-in-waiting, she gets to be her official food taster to make sure that there is no poison in it. And while this is a job that most of the servants fear and do not like, Mao Mao is a weirdo. And she's like, I want to eat the poisons.
Yes.
Give me the poisons. You're feeding me poison. Addicted to this feeling I can't help but swallow. She's very, very interested in chemicals, in poison, in herbs, everything like that. So she is like, hell yeah. However, she quickly becomes very bored because the other ladies in waiting feel bad for her. And they're like, you don't have to do any cleaning or cooking. Just like relax. You have the hardest job. And she's like, bitch, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Rachel, that's getting into the next episode. Why don't you talk about episode 2?
Yeah, sure. So, episode 2 opens with kind of a scene from outside the palace. Soldiers basically are trying to pacify an outside village, and they get poisoned while they eat. And this matter is brought to Jinshi, and he's asked to help decide the fate of the village leader who's suspected of poisoning the soldiers. So it's obviously a big deal. they don't want to, like, slaughter a whole village, but that's what they're contemplating doing because they think they poisoned the soldiers.
Seems totally like a level-headed solution.
Right, exactly. And then, like Emily said, Mao Mao is revealed to be the new poison food tester. She takes to the task quickly but gets bored. So Jinshi asks Mao Mao to kind of be like his little detective to solve the question of the poisoned soldiers because she did such a good job with the face powder. From context, Mao Mao deduces that instead of the food being poisonous, it's actually the wood that they were burning to cook the food that was giving off the poisonous fumes. Jinshi, being very impressed with this, then tasks her to design an aphrodisiac, which then gains her access to the court doctor's stock of medicine and ingredients, which she loves. She's like, oh my god, all these things that I can now tinker with and fuck around with. I'm so excited. She creates cocoa-based aphrodisiacs, but gets distracted collecting medicinal herbs after the fact, only to find out that the other ladies in waiting have eaten the chocolate cheese made out of the excess cocoa mixture ahead of time.
It was very, very stupid and funny.
Yes, it was.
They're like writhing on the floor because they've never had chocolate before. And
right.
They're selling chocolate.
Chocolate?
Yeah.
What?
You know, I guess if I have never had something as delicious as chocolate before, I guess that would be a little life changing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they were like puddles on the floor. That was funny. According to Mao Mao, the aphrodisiac had 3 times the power of like their usual aphrodisiac tonic, which made Gyokyo tremble in fear when she tried asking her for some for the emperor. And she's like, oh no, the emperor already does just fine without that.
I mean, a man with basically 4 wives, like,
yeah,
I think he's good.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even at one episode in the future, she's like, ugh, a man as lustful as the emperor doesn't need this shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you right, girl. He's gross.
T.
So, episode 3. Rumors are swirling because there is a mad, ghostly woman attacking people in the Outer Palace. Jinshi's assistant, Yaoshen, shows Mao Mao a mid-level concubine named Fuyo, who happens to be dancing on the eastern wall in the moonlight. She was originally brought to the palace for the emperor, and she is known to be a great dancer. However, when she basically had her interview, she messed up, and then the emperor lost all interest in her, and she's in this weird limbo of, you know, not really fucking the emperor, but just kind of being there and not being able to leave. So she's in this weird space. After her big embarrassment, she allegedly went mad and began dancing in the moonlight. The next day, Mao Mao relates this story to Gyokyo and Jinshi, and she's like, that sounds really sus, because I know of a courtesan who was about to be purchased by a very wealthy client, but the deal fell through, leading to the woman becoming so stressed that she began sleepwalking, and she had no memory of this. I mean, she was asleep. How would she have memory of that?
Right.
And she's like, oh, this courtesan must just be sleepwalking from the stress of being rejected and being in a weird position. The next day, Fuyo is to be sold off to a general, and she is going to leave the palace. Mao Mao tells Gyokyo the rest of the story, which she conveniently did not tell them because she's like, eh, Why do they need to know? So after she finds out the tea, she's like, oh, I'll tell you the rest of the story. So the courtesan in her story actually pretended to be mentally ill and sleepwalking and doing all these weird things so she could lower her own price and be sold to a different man whom she actually wanted to marry and had a secret relationship with. So that was the real tea.
Yes.
Yeah. Fuyo discovered that the general that she was pledged to was actually a man that she loved from her hometown. So she did something similar to the woman in My Mouse story, just so the emperor would be like, get this bitch out of here. She's causing commotions. And so she could finally be with a man she wanted to be with out of the palace.
Right. I just think it's so funny that it's like, the emperor's like, oh, she's beautiful. Oh, she's made one wrong step. Hideous. Get her out of my sight. Like, that's so funny to me.
That reads as like evil gay man. Yes. Like, honey, you are not good at dancing. Next.
Your high kick fell really flat.
Like, does that seem like a heterosexual thing? You know? Questions. But anyway.
Oh my god.
Concubine Gyokyo, after Mao Mao tells her the rest of the story, is like, ah, that's probably what happened to this bitch. And she's like, should I tell anyone? Nah, let her live her life. And you know, good for Gyokyo. Good for her. She stays out of everyone's business. She's in her own lane.
Yeah, I love that she's just staying in her lane. So, episode 4. The emperor makes a direct request that Mao Mao takes care of Lady Li Hua. So she's the lady in waiting for Lady Gyokyo, but she gets sent to Lady Li Hua's area. But repeated attempts to treat her are thwarted by her ladies in waiting, who are basically like, ew, who is this? Get her out of our sight. This is just a gross servant. And they kick her out of the room repeatedly. Jean, she notices this and decides to intervene by being beautiful in the
by
presence.
Rizzing them. He turned by up the, he turned up yes. the charm. He's like, ladies, don't you want to get along?
I can't believe you're getting so worked up about some guy.
So he convinces them to allow Mao Mao to treat Lady Li Hua without any interferences, starting with a special diet which aims to purge her body of the lead from her beauty powder that her lead lady-in-waiting was secretly using. Mao Mao, in one of the best scenes, I think, at the beginning of this anime.
I know. I finally got some fucking respect for Mao Mao in this episode.
Like, gives the lead lady-in-waiting the tongue-lashing of her life.
And hits her.
And then hits her and pours the powder on her for carelessly using it. Forgetting that it was banned for being poison and is what killed Lady Li Hua's son.
She's like, are you an idiot? I told you this was poison. Why are you using this?
Yes. And honestly, I feel like this would have been grounds for the lady-in-waiting to be killed.
Yeah.
But instead, Lady Li Hua is, you know, generous and basically lets her return to her post after being detained for a while. And Mao Mao was the lead lady-in-waiting for the duration of that period of time. The lead lady-in-waiting is, like, very apologetic and declares she will not repeat her mistakes. And the eunuch, who is ordered to recover the banned powder, got whipped as a punishment, which I feel like it's kind of unfair because he was just doing what he was asked. But anyways, Mao Mao then asks Jin Shi to build a sauna, and she adds regular steam baths to Lady Li Hua's treatment regimen. So now there is a sauna in the outer palace for Lady Li Hua. She fully recovers in 2 months, and then Mao Mao is sent back to Lady Gyokyo. And she teaches, before she leaves, she teaches Li Hua a technique her brothel sisters taught her to gain back the emperor's favors, as she has the assets, her big old fitties, to do it.
And we'll let you guys guess what she told her. I have an idea, but I will not say on this podcast. Good googly moogly,
that thing is juicy. Yes, use your imagination. But as a result, basically, Gyokyo becomes not the emperor's plaything every single night, so she gets to take it easy.
She's like, Jesus Christ.
She's like, Lady Li Hua exists with her jugs. Please get out of my bedroom. So yeah, that ends episode 4. And that's all we're going to cover in this episode.
But you can see that it's episodic, but there is an overarching plot of Mao Mao trying to leave. But in every episode, pretty much, she solves a mystery, or there's two episode arcs where she solves a mystery. And it's fun. I really loved it.
It's great. Yeah, because because the mystery of it keeps you watching, but there's also like larger things that you have questions about. Like, I don't even know if I should say this because I don't want to give spoilers away, but like, there's, I guess even in the beginning episodes, there's questions of like, Jin Shi is so beautiful, how could he be a eunuch? There's also like, what's up with Mao Mao's father?
Yeah.
What's her relationship like with, you know, the brothel?
Because he's an old man.
Right. So you're like,
he seems to be too old to be her father, but
right,
you will find out.
So you're like, what's going on there? And a lot of that is answered somewhat as the episodes go on. So just kind of, there's that main thread line that keeps you wanting to watch, the mysteries to keep you entertained in the meantime, and all of the relationships between everybody, like kind of your main cast of characters that is interesting while she's trying to solve these mysteries. So lots of stuff is happening, lots of stuff to keep your attention. I really like that.
Yeah, I think this anime does a really, really good job of keeping you entertained, keeping your attention, keeping you guessing, not being so obvious with things, but leaving enough breadcrumbs for you to figure out things. Mm-hmm. I feel like some shows either like spoon feed you, or it comes so far out of left field, you're like, what?
Or like, it's so focused on the main two characters and like the love interest, and you're just like, oh my god. This anime does not do that. So I appreciate that a lot.
I mean, I really do love the relationship between Jin Shi and Mao Mao. Mm-hmm. And it's so obvious that he is interested in her, but he doesn't know how to process those feelings.
And vice versa, and kind of.
Vice versa. No, completely vice versa. I love it.
Yes.
It's such a great dynamic. And like, I love femboys. I love them. I'm more.
Get that on a shirt for yourself, Emily.
More. Just I heart femboys. Yes. Soulmates podcast t-shirt.
hey now. It's a merch idea.
Like, I don't want to spoil anything, but like, the rest of the episodes are great. Like, oh, I just love it. I cannot wait for season 2.
Yes. Let's do our ratings.
Okay. So on a scale from 1 to 5, how would you rate the plot of The Apothecary Diaries?
5. I'm so interested in it always. When a new episode comes out, I'm like, ah, yes, yes, yes. I want to watch it right now.
I am going to give it a 4, only because I was so frustrated with Mao Mao, like the first 2 episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I found myself confused at her motivations, like confused at her decisions. She just seemed kind of meh, blah, very going with the flow. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm not very entertained by characters that don't do anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I found myself very frustrated with that. But I accepted it as it was. And it was amazing. Like, after that. After you just give up being like, why is she working so hard for a place where they bought someone into slavery? Like, they pay her too, but they're giving money to the people who like stole her. And I'm like, why doesn't she just say that, like, those people kidnap me,
right?
Give their money to me, I'll continue to work here. Like, she just doesn't do things that I thought would be obvious, or things that could have been solved with just like a very brief conversation. I'm like, don't you miss your dad? Can't you send a letter? I don't know. I found myself very frustrated with that aspect of it, but you just gotta let that go and just watch it as it is. Because eventually that stuff gets worked out, I will say. If yes. You find yourself frustrated with that, it eventually works out.
It does resolve itself, yes.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
Okay, on a scale from 1 to 5, how would you rate the voice acting?
Good question. Not that, like, I'm not asked that every single time we do these reviews.
I know, right?
I would give it a solid 4 out of 5. I think it's really good. I think they, because keep in mind, me and Emily have been watching the dub, not the sub. So we're rating the dub actors. I feel like the voice actor for Mau Mau really captures her essence.
Yeah.
And I think, like, her and Jean Shi are done really well. So I can't really remember any of the other characters super vividly. So that's why I'm giving it a 4 out of 5.
I think so, too. I totally agree with you. I will say, though, I thought Concubine Gyokyo's voice was a little annoying. Just a tiny bit. But, yeah, very, very good work from the two leads. Yes. So, okay, and on a scale from 1 to 5, how would you rate everything else? The character design, the animation, the music, anything else?
Honestly, I'm going to give that a solid 4 out of 5, too. It wasn't, like, the most beautiful thing I've ever seen ever, but it was still very beautifully done, I think. And I really like the uniqueness of the characters for the most part. I mean, some of, like, the soldiers, they're kind of all drawn the same and in the same uniform. But the characters that have names that you interact with frequently are very distinguishable from each other. And I appreciate that the ladies don't all look the same.
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. I really, really loved the opening theme song to the first half of the first season. The second half, I was like, this is not as good. But the animation for the opening is so stunning.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really good. I thought the character designs were great. I just love a femboy. Like, what can I say? Like, animation for the most part is very smooth. I wouldn't say it's, like, exceptional, but the opening theme has exceptional animation. Like, very, very good. And the music, I thought, is good. It's the music of the show itself is not super distracting, but it definitely adds a lot of ambiance.
Yes, I agree. Especially for, like, the dancing and, like, celebration portions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very simple question. Do you recommend this show? Yay or nay?
Hell yeah.
I definitely recommend it. If you haven't seen it, you definitely should.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, let's wrap up this episode with our weekly K-pop recommendations.
I'm going to recommend You and Me by Jennie.
I'm going to recommend Midas Touch by Kiss of Life. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Soulmates Podcast, all about the Apothecary Diaries. You can find Soulmates Podcast on Facebook, facebook.com/Soulmates Podcast.
You can find us on Instagram. We have our link tree there, and it links out to all of our relevant social media accounts.
Send us an email at soulmatespodcast@gmail.com.
You can check us out on YouTube at Soulmates Podcast.
This program is available pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found: iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and Spotify. Wherever you're listening right now, make sure you like, subscribe, smash that like button. We're here every other Friday for y'all. Sometimes life gets in the way, but we try to be here every other Friday.
Yes.
We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.